Hello, friends. I hope you recognize that theme song. If you do, you know what time it is. Not by the clock, wherever you are, amen, or by the watch, but you know what time it is because this is the theme song for our midweek Bible study. Let's talk about Jesus. Thank you for joining us. As always, we welcome you today to gather around the Word of God with us. And we're so glad that you're allowing us to be part of your devotional life and allowing us to teach and preach from the Word of God. As you follow along in Scripture, you take some notes, you look up the things that are said and see that they are biblically substantiated, scripturally sound. Amen. You know, the Bible said a time would come in the new covenant that men would not endure sound doctrine, but they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That simply means to tell them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear from the Word of God. Amen. There are ministers today and ministries and denominations, whole denominations that are compromising the absolute, inerrant, inspired truth, eternal truth of the Word of God, because they said that was in a different culture and we're in this culture, and what God meant for that culture isn't true of this culture. Remember this. The Word of God says of God that He's the Lord God of Israel. He changes not. It says of Jesus that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was sin then is sin now. What would damn your soul then will damn your soul now. And I want you saved, but someone that has the power to save you wants you saved. And His name is Jesus. He came for that purpose. He came into the world, amen, to save us from our sins, from ourself, and from Satan, who wants to destroy us all. He doesn't want to be alone in hell. Friend of mine, this is an important message today, and I want to title it, The Example of Enoch, the Seventh from Adam. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis 5, 23 and 24 on the subject, The Example of Enoch, the Seventh from Adam. I'm going to give you some background. First thing I want to say is that Enoch lived in the pre-flood world, a world that was getting so dark and so wicked and so evil. And yet, in spite of all of this, he walked with God. And he did this in a fallen world, a world hostile to God's rule, a world rife with wickedness and ripe for judgment. The pre-flood world was growing ever more sinful, and yet he walked with God. That's the example of Enoch that we want to showcase in this Bible study. Before the Bible, Old and New Testament, was completed, without its counsel and consolation, Enoch walked with God. Before the Holy Spirit was given to empower us to live a godly life and to overcome the evil one, Enoch walked with God. But he walked with God by faith, and he was faithful, so much so that God took him. There's no record of his death. God took Moses' body to a secret place to bury it, but Enoch did not see death. Some scholars of Scripture see this as a precedent for the rapture, the catching away when God takes his bride, his church. Rapture, just like Trinity, is not found, the Word is not found in the Bible, but the Scriptures that cause us to use that term. It's a biblically substantiated term in Scripture. Just like Trinity, the triune God, that word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are certainly in the Scriptures and made known to us as a Trinity. God is a Trinity. Three in one. Hallelujah. Amen. This word rapture means literally to snatch away forcibly and quickly. The coming of the Lord will be as the lightning shines from the east to the west. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be changed. Amen. Hallelujah. The scripture is very clear that the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, the voice of the archangel. Amen. And when he does, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are living and remain shall be caught up with them to snatch away forcibly and quickly to meet the Lord, not upon the mountain that he will stand in the second coming, because this is not the second advent or the second coming when all the world will see that coming and they will mourn because of him. This is a secret coming. This is that bridegroom coming at midnight. In an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. At midnight they had to be ready because they didn't know the day, they didn't know the hour, but they knew this, he was coming and they must be ready when he did come. Let me give you some background here on Enoch. Listen to what it says about the generation he lived in, the seventh from Adam. Of Adam, scripture says, all the days of Adam were 930 years, and he died. Genesis 5:5. Concerning Seth, we're told, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Genesis 5:8. Scripture tells us that Enosh, Cainan, Mahalalel, and Jared, Enoch's father, all died. However, we come to Enoch, and we're told this, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. Praise God. Amen. And in Hebrews 11:5, in the New Covenant, it said, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now here's an explanation for what was so pleasing to God about Enoch. Certainly he had this fellowship relationship walking with God by faith. It had to be by faith, for God is a spirit. Amen. Listen, but without faith it is impossible to please him. He pleased God, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Literally, seek him out. This was a God-seeking man who wanted to know God and wanted to walk with God. Even in a progressively wicked world, he walked with God. And this is an example that I believe that we need desperately in these perilous times, these prophetically fulfilling times called the last days, when men will be lovers of their own self, proud boasters, and it goes through the list of wickedness and evil things that are occurring all over the world, in every single nation. And in our nation, once a godly nation founded upon Judeo-Christian ethic and godly principles and morals. And today we see the piece by piece just tearing apart the foundation stones of America. And the devil would like to tear away the foundation stones of the faith itself. But if Enoch could walk with God, without all of the things that we have, the tools that we have, the weapons that we have in order to overcome, if He could do it in that kind of world, in His generation, we must do it in our generation. God will help us to do it. He's given us the weaponry. He's given us the knowledge. He's given us the power through the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, Enoch lived in a progressively wicked world, but he walked with God. Amen. Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. He lived a godly life for 300 years while the world steadily grew more wicked. He died, this was 300 years of living in a world that kept getting darker and darker and more wicked, more evil, because men became. That's the marking our days today. Perilous times are here because men shall become lovers of their own self, proud, boasters, murderers, all of the evil and wicked deeds that people are doing today. It is shocking, and yet people are almost becoming numb to the fact that mass murders are occurring, and people are killing their whole family, children and all, and killing themselves. And it's consistent. It's over and over and over, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Philippians 2:15, we have some instruction here in the New Testament with Enoch's example and our blessed abilities that have been granted us through all that God grants us by grace in order to live and walk with Him and keep the faith in spite of the wickedness around us. Listen to this, Philippians 2 and verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. God's people in the old covenant rebelled and refused to walk in His ways. And God said of them in that particular instance, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 5, says they corrupted themselves. They are not His children because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. But who are we, and how are we to live out who we are? We are the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Praise God. Listen, Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him, and he did it in those kind of conditions, and so must we. Jesus is coming for a church without blemish, not a polluted, perverted church, but a church that has kept the faith. Ephesians 5, verse 26, speaking of the church, he said that he, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Listen at the purpose of this, that in verse 27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. If Jesus' coming is soon, His Word must come in cleansing power to prepare His bride for His coming. I want to be challenged by the Word of God. When I go to church, when I'm in a Bible study, when I'm studying personally, I want to be challenged by the Word of God to live closer to God. I don't want someone refusing to preach the whole counsel, teach the whole Bible, to teach what is sin and what pleases God. Listen, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Do you want to please God today? I want to please him. I need his favor here. And I need when Jesus comes to be ready for his coming. Not because of works of righteousness that I can do in and of myself and merit going to heaven with him in the rapture. No. But that I might attain to the resurrection, as Paul put it, forgetting the things that are behind and straining forward, going against the culture, against the wind, and certainly against the weakness and propensity to sin of our own flesh. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. It means I strain forward. Amen. As the world gets progressively wicked, we should be progressively getting more practically righteous. Listen, you're positionally made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, but that's not the end of God's work of grace in us. The Bible said the grace of God that has appeared to all men, teaching us. Amen. Teaching us to not live ungodly. Teaching us that we through the grace of God and by the help and grace of God should be becoming practically more righteous instead of becoming more wicked, caught up in the riptide of wickedness and evil that is pulling so many away, that is bringing the falling away that the Bible said before the Antichrist comes on the scene and can be manifest, there will come a falling away first. And this falling away from the faith, that's why we're told to earnestly contend. That means to put up a real fight for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Yes, we should fight for the truth of the Scripture, for the Word of God, for the faith, that body of truth. No other foundation can anyone lay but that has been laid of the apostles, the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That's why Jesus said, when I return, when I come back for my bride, for my church, when I come back to rule and to reign, when I come back, shall I find faith? The Greek word is pistis, and in the context, it means not faith to gain the wealth of the world, to live like the Wall Street mogul or the Hollywood star or the sports star. No, that is not what he's talking about. It means faithfulness. It means fidelity. That's why the creed, one of the words within the creed of the United States Marines is Semper Fidelis. And it's Latin for always faithful. You know, the Scripture said, and they that were with him in the book of Revelation, he's coming with 10,000 of his saints to rule and reign and to conquer and to rule and reign. And listen, Semper Fidelis means always faithful. They that were with him, amen, were Semper Fidelis. They were always faithful. They were called, chosen, and faithful. Jesus told a persecuted church where some would be martyred for the faith, be faithful unto death, and God will give you a crown of life. Hallelujah. I'm going to make a statement again. If Jesus is truly coming soon, his word must come in cleansing power to prepare his people. Jesus actually said it in the New Testament. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. He loved the church, the Scripture said. He loved the church, and he cleansed it with the washing of water by the Word. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, sometimes the Word, as a cleansing agent, brings conviction of something that's wrong, something that is displeasing to God, that interrupts our fellowship relationship with Him. And when that occurs, it is a wonderful work of God in our life to draw us closer to Himself and to keep us from this slippery slope of backsliding, this slippery slope of going back toward the world instead of moving forward toward Him and toward heaven to come. Hallelujah. Forgetting the things that are behind. Because when we become a Christian, amen, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And Paul literally, he represented that when he said, forgetting the things that are behind. Why? Because they're behind. They're part of B.C., before Christ. Hallelujah. And all the things awaiting us are before us. And I have to never look back. Jesus told us, remember Lot's wife. She was completely delivered from the city of destruction. But her heart was still in Sodom. She did not want to leave, even though it was so wicked God was going to send a fiery judgment upon it. But she did not want to leave. That sounds like a small thing. She looked back. No, it wasn't just a look. The look represented. When she looked back, she looked longingly. She longed for all of the wealth and all of the fleshly things that wealth could bring. And here they are, leaving all of that behind. The Apostle Paul said, forget all of that. He said, I count everything, amen, as but dung. The things I once counted, there's the change that must come. The things I once counted gain to me, I count them as dung, that I might win Christ. Forgetting the things that are behind, because that's the old life. That's the life that is temporal. That's the life that is passing away. The world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Hallelujah. That's why God says of His Son, who never sinned and was obedient to the death of the cross, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Enoch had a testimony, according to Hebrews 11, that he pleased God, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We should be seeking God, His will, His way, His word, His grace, His mercy, His power, His help, now more than ever. Semper fidelis, always faithful. Jesus said, when I return to earth, shall I find faith? We're told to put up a real fight, to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the church. There's a movement to dismantle the faith, to take away the very foundations of the faith. We used to have a radio broadcast years ago called Foundations for Faith, because it was all based upon the Word of God and the truth of God, and Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I like what J. Howard Pugh, board chairman years ago of the Sun Oil Company, once said. He said, like most laymen, I go to church to hear heralded the mind of Christ, not the mind of men. I want to hear expounded the timeless truth contained in the Scriptures, the kind of preaching that gets its power from "Thus saith the Lord." I'm not going to ask you, do you have on your shouting shoes? I'm going to ask you if your amen is working. If there's something we need to amen, it's this great truth. He went on to say, such preaching is hard to find these days. I'm going to quote him again. He was a very wealthy and prosperous man, but he wanted to hear more than how to get rich and more like the world. He was already rich, but he didn't find what he was looking for in amassing great wealth and the power that wealth can give you. He said, I go to church to hear heralded the mind of Christ, not the mind of men. I want to hear expounded the timeless truth contained in the Scriptures, the kind of preaching that gets its power from "Thus saith the Lord." And then sadly he said, such preaching is hard to find these days. And that was a long, long time ago. Friend of mine, look at the days we're living in now. It's hard to find ministries and ministers that are able to speak with the authority that God has vested in His Word, such authority that He says, and integrity, that heaven and earth will pass away, but My Word will abide forever. Praise God. We need Spirit-anointed preaching and ears to hear, Spirit-anointed ears, to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Not just what someone has deemed appropriate at a particular holiday or time, or appropriate according to what people want to hear. Amen. We need to hear, "Thus saith the Lord." We need to hear like the prophet of old said it, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." Praise God. Listen, friend of mine, today we are living in an exponentially wicked world. It will continue, according to the Scriptures, to get worse and worse, not because the earth itself is producing this evil, but because of what is happening in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls today. The human heart, the Bible said, is because of the fall of Adam, is open to the suggestive temptations and forces of the enemy, of the devil. You're of the devil if we're not a Christian, and his works we will do. We're seeing that manifest, a wickedness and evil with no social or cultural reason for all of this that's occurring. The psychologists are baffled and the sociologists are baffled. They're trying to find something in the culture, something in the mental state, something in the psyche, something in the psychological. And they can't find it because it's a spiritual condition. The heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? God knows it, and God knows how to change it. Hallelujah. Amen. And take us in our sinful condition, in our wickedness, in our spiritual darkness, and open our eyes. Set us free from those chains of darkness and change us from the inside out. Praise God. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are made new. We are buried with him in baptism, and we are raised with him to walk in the newness of life. Enoch walked with God in a wicked and perverse generation, and so can we, and so must we, because Jesus is coming soon, and he's coming for a church that's without spot and without blemish. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But that grace that allowed God to do that in our behalf, that grace that's appeared to all men, teaching us, amen, that forsaking ungodliness, we should live righteously and godly in this present world. Praise God. Friend of mine, I want to live for the Lord. I want to walk with Him. I want to be ready for His coming. I want to be faithful. I want Him to find that in my life. How about you today? And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord and Savior, today the Bible said that you are literally without God and without hope in the world. That's a very terrible, terrifying condition to find yourself in. To live in this fallen world, to live in this world influenced by darkness, the prince of darkness himself, to be caught up in the flow of evil. The Bible said the wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God to the wicked. No peace. No peace. No sin. No, nothing. Nothing you can acquire materially. Nothing you can experience emotionally, mentally, physically. Nothing will satisfy that deep longing of your soul and give you courage and strength to live in this fallen world with hope in your heart, peace in your mind, except Jesus. Because if you repent of your sin and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll be reconciled to God. You'll have peace with God, and you'll know it deep within your heart. You'll be a child of God, the sons of God, in a wicked, wicked generation. Come to Jesus. Give your heart to Him. Put your trust in Him. And you will please God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you'll be able to walk with Him, talk with Him in prayer, and be ready for the coming of Jesus. For He's coming very, very soon. That's the example of Enoch. Let's learn from it today.